given through the Old Testament prophets and through the various events in salvation history that showed the passionate love that God had for Israel, for God's people. And yet, the best expression that they could come up with for that was the law. That as long as they were obedient to the law, God was with them. And the problem with that, and of course, you know, the good part about law is it kind of keeps us on the straight and narrow. It instructs us about how to live our lives. And things are more peaceable when everybody's obeying the law. There's a lot of good things about law. But law can also enslave. And the way it enslaves is it gives us this illusion that we are saving ourselves by obedience, by our righteous acts, by our diligence, by our hard work, by our efforts, we are saving ourselves. And that first reading is a reminder that all blessing doesn't come from the human condition. It doesn't come from the earth. It comes from God. And so the Israelites were always blessed in the name of God, not in the name of human beings. Not the king, not the judge, nobody but God. And so the point that St. Paul is making in that second reading is at one point in history, in the fulfillment of time, you know, all the ages before that time wasn't fulfilled, but now it is. And why is it fulfilled? Because he has come. And so God takes the initiative and he sends the Son to become a slave to the law, born of human flesh, a slave to all the conditions of humanity, locked in time, locked in space, can't bilocate, all the limitations he took on. And then God also sent the Spirit into our hearts that cries out, Abba, Father. In other words, we are heirs. We are, by his sonship, made sons and daughters. He took on our lost human nature. He took on our sin. He took on our slavery to the law, slavery to sin and death, so that we might take on his divinity, so we might take on his sonship. And the proof of that, St. Paul says, is the Spirit has been breathed into our hearts, and that Spirit cries out in us, Abba, Father. So at Mass, we always say, taught by the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father. We have the ability to call God Father because we are daughters and sons. It's that simple. That's really what the point of Christmas is all about. God took on our human flesh so that we could take on God's divinity. It's this wonderful exchange of natures. He takes our place so that we can take his place. Now, the feast we're celebrating today is Mary, Mother of God. That's the first title given by the early theologians of the church to Mary, Mother of God. And you have to appreciate how scandalous that was, because the objection was obvious. How can she be the mother of God? There is no source for God. There is no mother to God. But what those theologians and what the church meant was that she was mother of his human nature, not of his divine nature. But the reason that was so important and the reason it was the first title for Mary is because if you don't somehow say that he was born of a woman, then his humanity is not real. It's just an illusion. It's just a ruse. But what we're saying by this doctrine of the motherhood of God is that he really took on our human nature. He took on our human flesh. He was born of a woman. And why is that so important? Because, you know, when you are feeling compassion for someone, the best thing you can do is to enter into their situation and walk the journey with them and share that with them. And it's interesting that all the words we use for that say that in Latin or Greek. Com passio, to have passion with. Sympathy, sim pathos, to share the pathos with someone else. All of these words say what we're saying in this Feast of Christmas, that the best way to help someone, to lift someone up out of their slavery, out of their sin, out of their death, out of their grief, their sorrow, their sense of failure, the best way to do that is not to remind them that the sun is shining and everybody else is feeling good. The best thing to do is say, oh, I think I've had some kind of feeling like that. I'm hearing your pain. I'm listening. And I'm walking the journey with you. So what does God do in Jesus? He doesn't offer a solution to our problem. He doesn't end the injustice in the world. He doesn't end the tragedies. He just walks the journey with us. He suffers it with us. God has compassion on God's people in the only way that you can truly do that, and that is to share it. Not to answer it, and not to take it away, but to share it. This is what our salvation is, that God has entered into our journey, has entered into our existence, our life, our tragic slavery, and redeemed it from within. Not by snapping his fingers and just making it go away, but walking the hard, long road with us, suffering with us, crying with us, dying with us, so that we might enter into his joy, enter into his life. He exchanged his death for ours so that we might have life eternal.